Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Have just tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Welcome to episode 20-05 of The Voice of the American Redoubt here at Radio Free Redoubt. Hope you guys had a blessed week, a blessed weekend so far. And thank you guys for your prayers and your support and the letters of encouragement and just an amazing group of people out there. Folks are relocating strategically, getting moved into the free zones, out of the occupied zones as these red flag laws are being passed, as forced vaccination is being passed. As the world just melts down, you lose control of your rights. You lose control of having any say over what your children are exposed to, and you want to get to where it is more free and more conservative. So we understand that. So God bless you in your endeavor as you prayerfully seek that very major decision whether or not to strategically relocate. And we are here to promote that. The American Redoubt is the safe haven and refuge, the fallback position for those of us who still hold to traditional American ideals or Christian values, the things that our nation was founded upon, that the Marxists, globalists, leftists, and otherwise useful idiots are trying to strip away from us. Well, we want to be a voice here to encourage you, to inspire you, to motivate you to action. If you feel like you need to take action and get your family out of those occupied zones into the free zones, or motivate you to action to get engaged in the local political process and push back and fight and stand up for what is right. So, man, it is just another week, really wild, watching what's going on in the news cycle. What a battle. It's just unreal what's happening in, well, really around the world. All kinds of stuff's coming apart at the seams. But, man, the battle in Washington, what President Trump is up against, very coordinated attacks from a very organized, deeply rooted deep state. And this is... this is taking place at the state level in multiple states, at the county level, multiple counties and multiple states across the country. It's just the fight's on for our existence, for everything we value and cherish. It is just that close from just being stripped away. So thank you guys, and God bless you guys for being in the fight, for staying aware, for not being persuaded by lies, for knowing what the truth is, knowing what's righteous, standing for that, for the rule of law, for our heritage. I'm just really blessed to be able to have come into contact with so many of you guys. It's just really great. But there is a lot to cover tonight, so I want to kind of focus in on, especially in segment 3 and 4. There's what's going on here as far as the plagues, pestilence, this kind of stuff, biblical proportions, and I don't mean that, you know, in a dogmatic way or to use hyperbole. I really believe that is what's happening. Our minds would be blown if we could have spiritual goggles, kind of like night vision goggles, but that would allow you to see what's going on in the spiritual world and the spiritual realm around us all the time, especially when it comes to the war on the souls of our children, of our country, in government and in our courts. It's just, it really is an amazing time to be alive. It really is. So let's cover some of these stories first. I'm going to get into that. I've got some testimonials to share, really a positive thing that happened this week. I got to meet with a bunch of ham operators that were mostly not Amron operators, and they had some concerns, and they invited me to come and speak. So that was really that was a cool thing. I'm going to share that a little bit too in segment two. But first, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series. But this is a package deal. Shelby Gallagher, the author, Glenn Tate's wife, Shelby Gallagher, the author of the three book series, A Great State. Both of those books are out in paperback and in audiobooks. You can check that out as well. And if you haven't, check out their Prepping 2.0. And that's their website where you can learn more about both of their books and their popular prepping podcast. And that's at prepping2-0.com. Prepping 2.0, can't spell that in a URL, in a web address. It would really confuse things. So it's prepping2-0, but the podcast is Prepping 2.0. It's the next step. You got your food, you got some water storage, water purification. Now what? Well, it's Prepping 2.0. Pretty cool. And they do a good job with that. Great job. All right. This is one of these stories where I just get it out of the way. Until we get to the stark raving mad stories. But this one just makes me say, Christ, would you return? Just return. Come back. How can you stand any more of this? From WorldNet Daily, specifically, legislative committee members voted down a bill that would have required doctors to provide medical care for a baby born alive following an attempted murder. Abortion. And this is coming from Dr. Dobson, the founder of the James Dobson Family Institute, as well as his family talk radio. Can you believe that? In Colorado, they vote this legislation in Colorado votes down a bill would have required doctors to provide medical care for a baby born alive following an attempted abortion. Which is attempted murder. That's straight up murder. I don't know how a doctor with any conscience at all. Well, I guess there's the answer right there. A doctor who's a doctor by name. He's got something hanging on the wall that says he's a doctor. He'll let a baby just sit there and die. Hypothermia. What do they do? Right. Suffocate it. There's the horror stories. This just, it just makes my blood boil. Just the thought of that is really maddening. I can't wait for the justice that our King is going to bring when he comes back. There's some good news here. Some little upbeat news. Washington State Committee, two weeks ago, a House committee approved a bill to put a 3-year ban or a moratorium on the use of facial recognition for surveillance or any other purposes by the state and its political subdivisions. Passage into law would represent an important first step toward protecting privacy and rejecting the national surveillance state. This is coming from Michael Bolden. He's the head of and founder of the 10th Amendment Center. They do great work over there. Michael Bolden does just great, great work. A coalition of three Democrats, believe it or not, introduced a House bill 2856 on January 27th. Now, the legislation would put a 3-year ban on the use of facial recognition by government in Washington state. It makes you wonder, why would Marxist globalist statist Democrats want a ban on facial recognition? I wonder. So if passed into law, a broken clock is correct twice a day, right? I mean, this is something that Republicans should have been pushing forward. Well, of course, if they did, they would have just shot it down because they're Republicans. But if passed into law, state and local government agencies would be prohibited from obtaining, retaining, requesting, accessing, or using any facial recognition technology or any information obtained from or by use of facial recognition technology. This should be across every state. This should be at the federal level. I can't believe Democrats are pushing this. But look at this. This legislation is part of a broader nationwide movement. Well, then what I just said, this should be nationwide, right? To limit this invasive surveillance technology at the local and state level. Now, who's leading the way on this? San Francisco, Oakland, and Berkeley. Have all prohibited government use of facial recognition technology, along with Somerville, Northampton, Cambridge, and Brookline, Massachusetts. Portland, Oregon is considering a similar ban. The California governor recently signed a bill that imposes a 3-year ban on the use of the technology in conjunction with police body-worn cameras, leading to the shutdown of one of the biggest facial recognition programs in the country. Now, what do these cities have in common? They are the epicenters of Antifa. And isn't it interesting that Democrats are pushing for this legislation to protect their Marxist revolutionary thugs in the streets from being recognized? But hey, whatever it takes, I guess, to stop the invasion of that is something that should have been done a long time ago. So this is good. This is good to see. It's actually a story in Idaho coming up very similar to that. All right. Thanks to Idaho State Representative Heather Scott, put out a update on legislative update. So I'll just hit some of the highlights here. This is really good. You guys can go to, vote Heather Scott, look her up, and subscribe so you can get these updates yourselves. Property tax relief is coming soon. There are several proposed bills to help address the problem of high property taxes most Idahoans are experiencing. We need to wait and see what the options come out of committee later this month. Hopefully the fix won't be to set up another interim committee to study this issue over the summer. No kidding. So we'll have that to look forward to. Heather Scott has proposed or introduced several bills. Here's one. This is boldness right here. I love this. Bill 361, Abortion Human Rights Act, or the AHRA. It makes all abortion illegal in Idaho. Boom. Period. Abortion is murder. This bill would completely end abortion in Idaho. Yes, completely. It is in the Ways and Means Committee and can be called out on the House floor if the chairman continues to not put it on the agenda. 492, here we go. Facial recognition technology use and abuse establishes certain obligations for users of facial recognition technology, certain rights for individuals whose facial recognition data has been collected, and certain obligations with respect to accountability for public agencies that collect or use facial recognition technology. Freedom of speech versus homeowners associations. This is a good one. It provides limitations on restrictions that homeowner associations can put on the display of political signs and certain flags. We hear these stories of some veteran with a flying the American flag, and some busybody from the homeowners association comes and says, we're going to fine you unless you remove that American flag, because our homeowners association says no flags. And you could say, look, just don't move into one of those housing developments with those kind of CCNRs. You don't have to live there. Well, the problem is it's becoming so prevalent, these almost like boilerplate CCNRs that they just rubber stamp on these brand new developments. It's pretty much it severely limits your ability, your options for buying a home, because almost all of these housing developments now have these type of restrictive CCNRs. So they're saying, okay, basically, out of 100 houses for sale, you can choose 2 of them because they won't restrict your ability to fly an American flag. Well, that's just absolutely ridiculous. So that's being addressed. House Bill 308, driving while using a handheld device. Thank goodness, it's about time. Makes handheld wireless device usage a state issue and it prohibits the cities from enforcing this ordinance. So they can't just come up with their own ordinances because it's ridiculous. I mean, you can't even pick up a microphone to a CB radio and say hello to somebody because that violates these handheld electronic device ordinances. So except for, of course, you know, the police, they have an exemption. It's illegal, but they're exempted. So they can, you know, play on their laptops and talk on their cell phones and not wear a seatbelt and use the radio. No problem. But you pick up the microphone for your ham radio or you pick up your cell phone to look at the time. Boom. They want to nail you. So this is going to take it over at the state level. Look, there's already a law. It's called inattentive driving. So, I mean, you see people reading, you see people eating food, spilling food in their laps, going all over the road, trying to dig their French fries out from between their legs. And that's okay. But, if you pick up your microphone to your ham radio and just, put out your call sign, well, they want to nail you $125. So this is going to just put an end to that nonsense, hopefully. Here's a great one. This has been one that just got under my skin, and they're going to fix it. House Bill 516, concealed carry for non-residents. It cleans up the code to allow non-Idaho residents the same privileges as residents for carrying concealed or open carry. There's no longer a requirement for carrying a handgun concealed in Idaho unless you go to, you know, there's certain places like schools and things like that. You have to have an enhanced CCW to carry in certain places. But otherwise, at 18 years old, you can carry concealed. They call it constitution carry, but it's really not the constitutional carry. They passed a law allowing you to carry concealed without the need to have a CCW. But it only applied to residents of Idaho. So someone from Oregon or Washington or Montana without a CCW carrying concealed would be breaking the law. Well, they're going to fix that, as they should. Well, that's a whole nother debate. All right. Fairness in Women's Sports Act. Hallelujah. I love Idaho. This is House Bill 500. Fairness in Women's Sports Act. It adds to existing laws to establish the fairness in women's sports. You see these trannies that are used to be a male and then become a so-called pretend female. And then they're entering into these women's athletics. And what a problem they've created with this. Well, they're trying to head this off and say, yeah, that this isn't going to work. So it's a Fairness in Women's Sports Act. From the Inland Northwest Report, always doing a great job over there. There's an alert for Kootenai County. They need an advisory vote. I want to invite you to go over to the InlandNorthwestReport.com and look for Alert for Kootenai County Advisory Vote is Needed, a Must Read. It has come to the attention of the Northwest Property Owners Association that an advisory vote is needed. Leslie Duncan is trying to get a advisory vote to let the voters know how they feel about some of these proposals. And the other two, essentially, they're statists. They won't second the vote to put this up for an advisory vote. So you can read all the details over there. It's more than I just really want to get into right now as far as money and how money is spent and how the taxpayers are being taxed. Funds are being misappropriated. And the taxpayers are footing the bill for this. So all it is a non-binding, basically a resolution. It's a advisory vote where the citizens can speak up and say, have a say in how they feel about this. And it doesn't even obligate the county commissioners to do anything about it, but they will not even step up and second Leslie Duncan's motion to get this on it as an advisory vote. That's Chris Filios, leftist, Rhino at best, and Bill Brooks, Rhino, He's a statist, in my opinion, in my estimation. These guys think that the state is just the ultimate tool to make this a perfect world. And Leslie Duncan leans strongly more toward liberty and freedom, constitution-minded thinking. So, Kootenai County, there you guys go. Call the commissioner's office at 208-446-1600. That's area code 208-446-1600. Or you just, if you can't remember that, just call the commissioner's office, Kootenai County Commissioner's Office. There's a great article over here at Redoubt News. It's titled The Socialist Propaganda and Manipulation. And it's got the cover of the Inlander rag by this little twerp. Oh, what's his name? Oh, man, I wish I could remember his name. Maybe I'll try to think of it. He's always digging any opportunity to regurgitate some type of hit piece on Matt Shea or Heather Scott. He uses the opportunity to do so. And Sherry Duvalli over at Redoubt News just shreds this young man, as she calls him, this young journalist. But the image on the front of this Inlander, it's got a picture of Matt Shea. It's like this storyboard, right? Where it's like a connecting dots. It's got a little string tied from Matt Shea all the way to all these other extremist things like Heather Scott. Let's see what else we got here. There is a picture of the Confederate flag, the Constitution, the cross, the Bible, Second Amendment rights, AR-15, you know, all these other really whacked out extremist. Oh, there's a Second Amendment rally standing up for the Constitution. There's an actual picture of the Declaration of Independence. That's extremist. So, I mean, it's just pure propaganda. But to look at this evil maniacal leader, you know, Representative Matt Shea and everything that he's connected to, they've apparently have done their research and they have found evidence of ties between Matt Shea and the Declaration of Independence and Heather Scott to the Bible and to the cross and to the Constitution. And to some citizens here that are pictured exercising their First Amendment rights to petition their government and to peacefully assemble and to bring a redress of grievances to their government, to stand up for the Second Amendment. I mean, they've got Matt tied to all these extremist activities. The Bible here, that's over the top. And he basically brings everything around and ties Heather Scott into all this extremism. So this is Daniel Walters is the name of the little twerp. Daniel Walters, little Marxist lemming propagandist. But yeah, good job, Sherry Duvalli over at Redoubt News. This is great. Okay, from Stark Raving Mad at rhinopack.org. That's the Rhino Hunters of North Idaho. We've got a few articles here, a few stories that I'll share with you. This is their writing. This is their take on the news and for your entertainment and for your education purposes and share the news. Gun-free Britain, 10,000 gun crimes per year. What? Well, according to this, as England gets overswept by Muslim immigration, crime has risen precipitously. I love that word. From the increasingly common gang rapes of innocent English girls to murder and robbery of English citizens, all are frequently facilitated by the use of firearms, which is weird because I thought they banned firearms, so this should not even be taking place. If they just ban rape and murder and robbery, they just need more signs, apparently. The number of gun crimes committed in the United Kingdom has increased by 27% in 5 years, and the number of firearms seized has quadrupled despite the country having some of the strictest gun control laws in the world. Legal ownership of firearms in England is nearly impossible, but non-existent border controls make smuggling simple, and illegal manufacturing of firearms within England is pervasive. In truth, the only unarmed people are the law-abiding citizens, which makes them easy targets for the predators. In Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, in a historic move and pandering to the major new source of Democrat/socialist voters, the Iowa Democrat Party designated mosques as polling places for the first time in Iowa's Democrat primary. Five mosques were designated as such in the Des Moines area alone. Reliably Republican, mostly Christian, and over 90% white, Iowa was selected by the previous administration under President 44, who will not be named, administration, as a targeted region for their native population replacement programs. As such, large numbers of third world, almost exclusively Muslim refugees were imported to the region. A proliferation of mosques soon followed, according to this report by Stark Raving Mad. And then finally, the last story here I want to share with you from Stark Raving Mad. West Point confronts toxic masculinity. This came out on the 28th of January. The West Point Military Academy, founded in 1802 by President Thomas Jefferson, West Point has graduated a long gray line of distinguished warriors who have fought and died on America's battlefields in every one of our wars for the last two centuries. However, the long line of valiant victorious soldiers must be reformed, for far too many of these heroes display toxic masculinity. Despite admitting women since 1975, homosexuals since 2011, and those that can't figure out what they are since 2016, the feminazis, degenerates, and girly men feel our warrior class needs to be reformed into a kinder, gentler, more feminine psyche. Thus, they have instituted curriculum on inclusion, diversity, gender norms, and, of course, toxic masculinity. These courses featuring outstanding military luminaries as Nancy Pelosi, Jane Fonda, Rachel Maddow, Rosie O'Donnell, and Gloria Steinem aim to diffuse the toxicity of our warfighters and remake them into something more akin to Michael Moore. One cadet commented, "I'm being taught how not to be a man." We might add, "You're also being taught how to lose a war." All right, that and more stories at Stark Raving Mad over at rhinopack.org. We'll be right back with segment two right after this. Don't go away.
Are you aware of your water rights? Water is one of the foundational elements of life, and a resource that you must have ample access to if you are going to make your property a viable place of self-sufficiency. For those who are considering purchasing property, keep in mind that in some states, water rights can be sold separate from the land and don't always automatically transfer with the property purchase. So it's important to be sure that any existing water rights are included in the terms of your property purchase agreement. If no existing water rights are in place for your land, obtaining water rights should be a top priority. Let's face it, the longer you wait, the more stringent and limiting the government regulations are likely to become. This is Brian Domke of Strategic Landscape Design, helping you live a life of liberty.
Welcome back to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of Idaho. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the website. They're helping people just like you every day. So check them out. Give them a call this week And I just got an email yesterday from a listener who is taking the gap, moving out of occupied territory. They're moving their family to Boundary County, right up there, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate territory. So good on them. Good on them. All right, I had a really cool experience this week. I get invited to speak to, you know, a lot of different groups, political stuff and emergency preppers and things. But it's rare that I get the opportunity to speak to people that aren't part of my echo chamber, if you will. They know of me, but they're not, you know, fans. They're not followers or anything like that. So it's kind of a unique and interesting experience, and I enjoyed it. I was asked to come and speak in a county in Idaho. I was asked to speak to a group of ham radio operators, and that was it. I said, well, okay, well, I'd be happy to. What would you like me to speak about? Well, the response was, in general, just Amron. They want to hear more about Amron. And then, which I was thinking, why can't you tell them about Amron? You're in Amron, but you want to have John Jacob Schmidt come and talk about Amron, and so that great. But then the truth, really. They also wanted to hear about my take on Amron's relationship with ARES, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, and especially the concerns about being associated, their concerns about being associated with Amron in light of the recent smear campaigns in the newspapers. And particularly the Rampart report, which we call the Shampart report, which is full of libel, which is actually kind of advantageous. So, and for those of you who don't know, many of you have already heard, and I put a posting up at Amron.com. There was this disgruntled former security worker for Representative Shea, or Secret Service agent poser. His name is Cecil Pounder. He goes by J. Pounder. He was formerly known as Fox 519, but he was stripped of Fox 519. So this Cecil Pounder, weasel and a liar, made some claims that made it into this report, which made it into the newspapers, that several false claims. But it reminds me of the scripture. Proverbs 6:12-16 says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing." And that's what happens when the Lord intervenes. So here we have a worthless person, a wicked man, who has been going about with crooked speech, winking with his eyes, getting awards from all kinds of unsavory organizations, anti-Christian groups, and pointing his finger. So you know what? Just turn him over to the Lord. Let the Lord handle him. Because the Lord just has a way of dealing with people better than anybody else could. But these false accusations of Amron running training exercises based on scenarios involving being at war with our government at the local and state and federal level. And that the operation that we do with Operation Premonition, that we work with Representative Matt Shea on this Operation Premonition, which is a scenario-based exercise, which is true. But it was based on going to war with our government. That's the part that is completely false. The Operation Premonition was based on a scenario-based exercise of a socio-political economic collapse, where basically government was non-existent. They're just inadequate to respond. They're overwhelmed. And so the scenario was based on local leadership trying to band together. The actual training involved supporting local and state elected officials, not being at war with them, helping them. The scenario also included portions of the scenario where elected officials and community leaders were trying to formulate some type of a response in the absence of a functioning government. Okay, there was, like, for example, a sheriff is overwhelmed, crime is rampant, and he's calling for assistance because we're in a, you know, what we call a grid down situation. The power is out. Commercial electricity and communications are down. So he's, the sheriff is requesting assistance and communications support, calling for assembling his deputies and sheriff's posses and or a militia in response to this deteriorating security situation. So we had, and anytime we do one of these scenario-based exercises, we have invited multiple elected officials, and we've had community leaders, pastors, elected officials that we've invited. And on this particular Operation Premonition, I think that was 2016, we had over a half a dozen community leaders and elected officials come through, and we invite them to, I guess, to give them a tour of the Signals Center so they can see what our capabilities are, what our limitations are, how we might be able to support them in case of a real-world major disaster. And AMRON exists for emergencies, for disasters, and civil defense. This would be a civil defense type of situation. And I remember there were 23 AMRON Corps members at that Signals Center for that training exercise when several elected officials or community leaders and pastors came through at various points throughout the 3-day training exercise for a tour. And they were blown away. Like, this is just great. This is amazing. And thank you for showing us. And we're comforted in knowing that there's people that are training and practicing for emergencies that we could call on in the event of a major disaster. It's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing, but it's being spun into this negative thing. And there's 23 AMRON operators that were confused over these false accusations. They're just completely baffled and angry about being dragged into the local news, who didn't reach out to me. They didn't say, hey, this is what we've been told. What's your take? Nope. They're just happy to run with it. So the other false claim that was made by this Cecil Pounder, little liar, is that we have AMRON members placed throughout ARES, the Amateur Radio Emergency Service that works with local governments and stuff, so they can feed us sensitive information. Well, we don't have people placed in ARES or anywhere. We have many emergency communications personnel in AMRON, among the AMRON membership, that are patriots. They are in ARES, they're in MARS, they're in RACES, they're in Civil Air Patrol, Salvation Army Communications, and others who also join AMRON because they believe in the mission and the mission statement, which is also I read to this group. This is our mission statement. This is what we stand for. And you can go to AMRON.com, you can click on the About page, and there is a link you can click on, which will open up. You can download or print our mission statement. And even better, there are guiding principles, which is like an expanded mission statement. Is the mission statement explained? And these are good, good people that are selfless people that love their country. They love their communities. They're Christians. They're patriots. We have members in AMRON who are among the ranks of AMRON. We have members who are in every branch of the military and National Guard and Reserves, law enforcement, military, doctors, lawyers, business owners, retirees, pilots, on and on, you name it. Truck drivers, blue-collar workers, union workers, drywallers, just housewives. And so this was just baffling to see this. And, you know, I told them, you know, these people, they love their countries. And this is what this group wanted to hear. They wanted to hear this explained. Because they just wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth. Hey, we're hearing this thing, you know, just preparing for war against the government. Should I get involved with Amron now that this has come out? So during this presentation, there was about 30 or 35 people there. I'm guessing somewhere between 30 and 35 people. And I asked, show of hands, how many people here are in Amron? And about, I think six, unless I missed somebody, I think about six people raised their hand. So there's about 20%, one out of five, roughly, are in Amron. And I read the mission statement, and then I asked the group, have you ever seen, the Amron members that are here, have you ever seen or even heard of anything even suggesting planning to go to war with anyone in our government? Their response, they shook their heads, never. Have you ever seen any illegal activity or even the suggestion of doing something that's illegal since you've been in Amron? Nope. Never. Unanimously was their response. Has any of you ever participated in or even heard of a training exercise that involves participating in violent conflict against our government? Unanimously. No. Never. But the truth is the Ares folks, the folks that are in Amron who are also in Ares or other groups, they were shocked and angered at these false accusations because they know they're completely untrue. Especially when these lies were repeated by local news and media outlets. It's grossly irresponsible. And the false premise of being an official government investigation by this Rampart Shampart group was not an official investigation, but that's how they're trying to portray this. It's a completely false premise. But I have to say it was a very positive response among this group. And I'm also happy I told them this. I was cringing, waiting for the flashback of people saying, I'm resigning from Amron. I can't be a part of this. But we've actually had people, the response has been positive overwhelmingly, and we've actually seen an increase in our membership, and people see what's happening. They see what's happening in our government and in the patriot conservative culture. They've seen Christian organizations demonized. Look what they did to Chick-fil-A. You know, that they have no company policy on same-sex marriage at all. They asked the founder what he thinks about same-sex marriage. And he says, well, the Bible says it's just marriage is between a man and a woman. And they went ballistic. They tried, I mean, they've tried sabotaging the business. They've vandalized the business. They've harassed employees because the CEO and founder said, as far as my understanding of what the Bible says, marriage is between a man and a woman. And look what they have done. Look at the lengths that they have gone to damage people like Trump, like Brett Kavanaugh, and so many other conservatives. They're out to destroy conservative Christian patriots. So I told them, when you hear stuff like this, we need to stand up for each other, because maybe they didn't come after you this time, but you're next. So when you hear stuff that's, you know, is not true, then say so, instead of saying, oh, I didn't know that. Instead, say, that's not true. That's not true at all. That's a lie. This thing that you're saying about Amron, or saying about these patriots, or say it about this person or that person. Or at least you could say, you know what? That doesn't match up with what I know. I mean, and have known for years about Amron, or about this person, or about that person. Ask yourself, what's the source of this information that's demonizing somebody, that's putting somebody in a bad light? Where's this information coming from? Where's the source? Well, it's the Spokesman Review. Oh, the Inlander. Oh. So who are the ones that are all too happy to put out information that's damaging or even falsely incriminating against conservatives? Look at the source. We need to start standing up for each other, folks. So don't say I didn't know that. Say, that's not true. just like all the people that have been in Ameron and 23 operators that were in Operation Premonition, they were pretty darn confused when they found out that this was some evil plan to overthrow the government. That none of us knew until Cecil Pounder told these investigators this, and they just took it for whatever, face value. Unreal. Hey, I want to point you guys to something. I've been looking for a resource for solar backup, especially portable type of power, and I found one, and it is a outfit that I ran into when we were doing the Prepper Expo in Sandpoint, and it's called Bright Lights Solar. And so we set up an affiliate with them because we want to help promote an American Redoubt based business. It's called Transportable Power for your home, for camps, for field emergencies. This is beautiful for emergency communications. And, check out their website, brightlightssolar.com. And there's two S's there, lights and solar. It's two S's. brightlightssolar.com. They're brand new to us at Ameron.com, but they've got like turnkey, plug-and-play, ready-to-go systems for just small that can go in the back of your pickup truck and deploy at camp. Or a whole home system that, you know, for your estate and everything in between. Top of the line, really good. I was so impressed. It's on my to-do list. One day I'd like to be able to get one myself. But if you are in the market for and you're looking for energy, battery backup, solar type of system, they have tons of options too that you can upgrade. Then check them out at brightlightssolar.com. And anyway, when we get back, I want to talk about some of the updates with the coronavirus and put things in perspective, I guess, from a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective. And just want to pose some questions and put some stuff out there. What's going on here? There's a lot of strange stuff going on in the world right now. And I think that, most of you, I know, I know what it is. There's definitely more going on behind the scenes. So with that, let's take a quick break. Come right back. We'll be back with segment 3 in just a minute. Stay right there.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. Victory.
Welcome back to segment three of the Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment three is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property to get the most out of it for securing your property rights. And also, really, emphasis on landscape design, how to get the most out of your property for defensibility, for gardening, for placement of your greenhouses and your solar backup power systems, everything that you need to do to make your property really being able to sustain your family in hardship. They've got a lot of experience and they've helped a lot of people. So they also have consulting services for those that are living outside the American Redoubt. So check them out at Strategic Landscape Design if you need some help with that. And maybe you're new and they'll do a great job. So now let's talk about this coronavirus. The coronavirus now, which they've called a COVID-19, COVID-19, global cases over at Johns Hopkins as just prior to the show, 71,000 cases now confirmed. Up from last week when I covered this was 40,000 cases. Now there's 71,000. Deaths up from 910 to 1,773. And this definitely does. Now we've had more time. Remember a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, I'm not going to overreact to this. Some people were upset. This is bad. This is really bad. This is worse than it's ever. But you know what? People have done this every single virus outbreak. This is bad. This is worse. We've never seen anything like this before. And then it just like fizzles out. I want to watch because at the beginning of every one of these things, there were people that were yawning and not taking it seriously. And then there were people that were just overreacting and running around with their hair on fire. When there's not even enough data to make a decision one way or the other, whether or not to take it super serious or not. Now, I still do not believe in the scope of things that this is something you have a higher chance of being killed in a car accident than you do of dying from coronavirus. But that doesn't mean this should be taken lightly. And I've said that all the way through. We don't take this lightly, but we also don't want to overreact. This appears to be an engineered, like as in weaponized virus. That's a problem. That you can't believe anything anybody's going to tell you from official reports, especially the communists. But our own government has its own issues with being able to be honest. I don't believe anything except for what I see when it comes to government information. So we can guess that these numbers are way higher than 71,000. We have not seen our own government or any other government react and respond like they have to this virus. That's telling. The plans that NORTHCOM is making, we have also at least 11 bases. Now, I didn't even look that up. But yesterday, there were 11 military bases with quarantine centers set up. When have we ever done that? I'm not aware of any other case, the big Ebola scare a few years ago, or any other case where our military has set up 11 quarantine centers on our military bases, and that the Homeland Security and other departments have gone to great lengths as far as quarantine. So there's definitely more to this than more to it than meets the eye. There, I want to take us to a survival blog. They've just been a really, really good source for me, anyway. And I'm not a subject matter expert in virology, and I'm not in the medical field. But I'm reading stuff from people that are in the medical field, and their stuff is all over the map. There are subject matter experts, even virologists, who are arguing back and forth about this, but the seriousness of this, or the origins of this, or the effects of this. And really, you and I, lay people, we specialize in our own areas. This isn't one of them. So all we can do is take all the swirling, conflicting information that they're putting out and try to do our level best to make sense of it, not ignore it, but don't get wrapped up around the axle over it, and take reasonable measures to protect you and your family as much as you can. Some things you just can't do anything about. Nobody in this listening audience, nor I, have any control over the severity of this, or the origins of this, or what we're being told, or what we're not being told. And you really don't have an option other than just quarantining yourself right now and hunkering down. Don't leave your property and don't let anybody onto your property for the next 3 years until this thing plays itself out. Now, if that's not a viable option for you, then we're going to have to go about our daily lives, and we're going to have to trust in the Lord for His protection. We're going to have to be wise, and we're going to have to implement some of these measures that health professionals are telling us will greatly minimize being infected by anything, whether it's common cold or whether it's coronavirus or whether it's Ebola. And there's tons of advice out there. I gave you guys a link that was got some really good stuff on it. It's Dr. Sirkus, SIRCUS.com. DRSIRCUS.com. It's in last week's highlights and resources. General dosages and treatments for coronavirus infections. But there could be more to the this. Some of our traditional knowledge and conventional wisdom for naturopathic methods of fighting off the effects of this virus, there's some indicators showing that those may not be effective. So I went to survivalblog.com because there was an article over there that I wanted to pick up on. But then I saw this. I want to share it with you guys. It's kind of off topic a little bit, but we'll deviate and then we'll come back. On the preparedness notes for today, Sunday, February 16th, I didn't know this. February 16th is the anniversary of U.S. Lieutenant Stephen Decatur's most daring act of the age, as British Admiral Horatio Nelson called it. The Muslim pirates from the Barbary states, Morocco, Algeria, Tunis, Tripolitania, had been leading raids against U.S.-flagged ships, stealing the cargo and ransoming the crew back to the U.S. at exorbitant prices. After 2 years of minor raids, President Thomas Jefferson ordered U.S. Navy vessels to the Mediterranean Sea to engage them. The U.S. frigate Philadelphia ran aground near Tripoli and was captured on February 16, 1804. This is what we're celebrating. February 16th, 1804, Lieutenant Decatur led an expeditionary force into Tripoli Harbor to destroy the captured American vessel before it could be used to the Tripolitan advantage. 74 men, including 9 U.S. Marines, hoorah, sailed into the harbor, boarded the ship, attacked its crew, capturing or killing all but 2, then set fire to the frigate and escaped without the loss of a single American. The Philadelphia subsequently exploded when its gunpowder reserve was lit by the spreading fire. That is a cool story. I wanted to share that with you. But there's actually a story here that I went into Survival Blog for. Strongly recommend just following these guys daily. But there is a letter that was sent in. James Rawls highly recommended it, and I do too. Just a quick note concerning elderberry syrup and the Wuhan coronavirus, now named COVID-19, that I didn't want to get lost in the extensive comments about the virus. So I've seen a lot of stuff, homeopathic natural remedies, about elderberries and elderberry syrup as a preventative measure, but something that you should be taking to help you more quickly overcome the effects of a virus should you get it. But there's something here. Normally with the flu, elderberry syrup is a positive and it helps fight the virus. Sambucol elderberry extract and its formulations activate the healthy immune system by increasing inflammatory cytokine production. However, elderberry also enhances cytokine response, which may not be so good when one of the complications of pandemic influenza is cytokine storm. I had not heard of this before. And I think this is an education journey that we're all on, right? I have not seen this anywhere else, but there are a couple of articles that are talking about this. So we have that immune dysfunction also showing up with COVID-19, this coronavirus. In most moribund dying patients, 2019 COV infection is also associated with a cytokine storm. This is a term that I was not familiar with until I started watching this and started following up on this. So this is a different virus than other viruses already, pretty much from most other viruses right out the gate. So I want to read James Wesley Rawls's article, his comment on this. The cytokine storm syndrome explains why the Spanish flu killed nearly as many young people as it did elderly ones. I've now come to the conclusion that there is now no way to stop the Wuhan virus from becoming widespread in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. There will probably be successive waves of it in 2020, 2021, and possibly beyond. During the worst of those outbreaks, we must be prepared to hunker down in family isolation and, of course, a good healthy diet, exercise, a regular sleep schedule, proper hydration, and consistent intake of vitamin C, D3, as well as magnesium will be crucial. And for any of you readers who still smoke or vape, you must quit completely now, or your statistical chances of surviving COVID-19 infection are quite low. Very interesting. So the moral of the story here, elderberry syrup, a prime tool in the arsenal against seasonal flu, might not be helpful against this Wuhan coronavirus. It might even make it worse. It's probably too soon to tell. So keep watch out for news about a connection. So I want to point you guys to survivalblog.com. Read up on this article and follow these links that are talking about this cytokine storm. It's what happens inside your body. It's CYTOKINE, storm. So I just thought it was really good. And the article was written by Shepherd Farmer Geek. And he writes, trust God, be prepared. We can do both. And I agree. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is trusting in him. And there's also something going on here too. Is it just a government weaponized virus that got loose and that's all there is to it? Or is there maybe a spiritual component to this? I stumbled across this when I was reading in my Bible study this week about plague and sickness. And then locusts came into it. Right about the time I'm starting to get these news alerts popping up about the locust infestation that is completely decimating crops. And it fell right into some scripture that I was reading about locusts decimating crops. Interesting connections here. So, from a Christian perspective, the times that we're living in, is this really here the explanation for what we're seeing today? So anyway, we'll talk about that in segment 4 when we come right back. This is The Voice of the American Redoubt.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
The fourth and final segment here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. And segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. They specialize in Kydex holsters and magazine carriers. But I've been corresponding with the owners of Works, and they've kind of shifted their focus a little bit. Well, what they started doing was emphasizing a lot of their work has been shifting toward holsters that are pistol holsters made for pistols. They make custom. They're customized holsters. So they're focusing on pistols with accessories like lasers and tactical lights because there's multiple different combinations of each. And I've got to take a tour of their manufacturing facility. I was impressed. They've got every model of every handgun you could just about pretty much dream of, including every tactical laser, every tactical light, every laser, all these accessories on racks. It's just so whatever you've got, whatever system you've got, they can build right there in the shop, mold the Kydex holsters to the exact frame of pistol and the laser and lights. I've never seen anything like it. This is like every combination you could that you probably have out there, they've got it. And so anyway, check them out at works.com and see if they can help you with your holsters and your magazine carrier needs. And they're made in the American Redoubt, of course, and a lifetime guarantee in all their products. All right. So here's some articles. Here's a headline. 200 billion locusts invade Kenya in the worst infestation in 70 years. Just like sit there. 70 years. Here we go. Swarms of up to 80 million locusts decimating crops in East Africa, threatening food security for 13 million people. Now, the swarms of up to 80 million, I think they made a mistake. I think that should be a B, not an M. It's 80 billion locusts. All these other articles, they're saying billions of locusts. This is, it was like biblical scope, scale of locusts. The United Nations has called on the international community to provide nearly $76 million. That's the solution. Don't turn to God. Just throw money at it. Throw money at the problem, right? So they can finance aerial spraying of pesticides in East Africa, where swarms of locusts continue to decimate crops and threaten food security in the region. The current swarms of locusts are the most serious outbreak in decades, affecting Somalia, Ethiopia, Kenya, Eritrea, and most recently Tanzania and Uganda. Now, these are areas where there's widespread, rampant spreading of Islam and militant, evil, murderous Islamic jihad. And this is interesting. And now these places are being wiped out. Their food supply is being wiped out by locusts. Interesting. Just something to think about. The locusts could fly into South Sudan, a country whose population is already struggling with high levels of hunger. The swarms are extremely large. In northeastern Kenya, one swarm, check this out, one of the swarms was measured to be 37 miles long and 25 miles wide. That's a swarm. That is a massive storm cloud, isn't it? So here we go. New York Post, climate change behind Africa's worst locust invasion in decades, and they 70 years. And all of these articles, 70 years, 70 years. There's another one, 70 years. The worst in 70 years. Washington Post, hundreds of billions of locusts. Hundreds of billions of locusts. Fueled by conflict and climate change are swarming East Africa. It's climate change. And so there's several articles. It's climate change because of drought, because of rain, extended raining season. So farmers in southern Ethiopia were lucky that the biggest swarms didn't show up until January after the harvest season. This is interesting because my brain tied these together from my Bible study, my scripture that I was reading into this. The swarms didn't show up until January after the harvest season. But now new seeds of corn and wheat are in the ground, as are hundreds of billions of locust eggs. The weather anomaly is caused by El Nino-like event in the Indian Ocean that once occurred about every 10 years. But the studies show has become more frequent as well as more intense. So now it's weather. El Nino-like events, which used to happen about every 10 years, now studies are showing is becoming more frequent and more intense. And dry conditions in Australia exacerbating brush fires there. They're saying this man-made climate change. Well, I've always said there's no such thing as climate change. It's natural. The climate does change. It's natural. It's not a man-made, man-caused climate change. But, you know, I've been listening to Lady Liberty and some of the research and going after some of the links that she's talking about and look at the research. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. These are government programs that they openly talk about. They boast of. They talk about affecting the weather so that they can enhance crop production. Well, they also talk about the weaponization of it so that it can be used to deny somebody rain to affect their food supply, which they promised by treaty not to do. But, you know, you've got now here's the conspiracy theory part. You've got people screaming from the rooftops that we've got to reduce the world's population. And then you have these huge government grant funded projects under HARP, which are designed to modify the weather. And you've got the elite and the wealthy, the people that are calling for population reduction, that are connected to these HARP weather modification things, where the places where they're saying they need to most desperately reduce the populations are the places that are starving because the weather has made it so that they are either getting flooded or they're experiencing drought. And so I'm not saying definitively, I'm not calling, you know, conspiracy theory stuff. I'm saying there's some dots here that if a rational, normal thinking people starts connecting, it's plausible. I'm not saying that's what's going on. I'm saying it's plausible. In East Africa, they're in the midst of a crisis that sounds like something out of the book of Exodus. Locusts. Interesting. By late December, the swarms were starting to arrive in Kenya, moving quickly throughout the country's northern and central areas. By January, the country was experiencing its worst infestation in, there it is, 70 years. And I notice how much in Bible studies, how much 70 years is brought up, how significant that is. And I was watching a Jonathan Cahn. He's the author of The Harbinger or several other books. 70 years comes up over and over and over in different contexts. And here we are, the worst biblical. I mean, these are secular news outlets. Here's National Geographic saying that we're in the midst of a crisis that sounds like something out of the book of Exodus. So they're even unwittingly referring to the Bible, talking about this locust infestation, the worst in 70 years, which is all throughout Scripture. 70 years is all over the place for various different things. It's just very interesting. So I, you know, and it tied in with my Bible study at the same time all the stuff was hitting the news. Is there something spiritual going on here behind the scenes? We know that we're in spiritual warfare in governments, and we're seeing it in our, even in our communities, in the politics of our local communities, in our schools, in our cultures. Now we're having plague and now locusts. So I went and did a research. What does the Bible have to say about locusts? Where's these different? Because it's referred to a lot. In Joel 2, chapter 2, it says, their appearance is like the appearance of horses and like war horses. So they run with a noise as of chariots, which they're saying it's like these locust swarms. They're just thunderous. It's almost deafening. They're so loud. So back in Joel, they run with a noise as of chariots. They leap on the tops of mountains like the crackling of a flame of fire consuming the stubble, like a mighty people arranged for battle. In Revelation 9, it says, then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. Power to what? Destroy whole crops. In Amos book chapter 7, thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout, and behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. Now, isn't this interesting? Remember I said, you know, hold on to that? Farmers in southern Ethiopia were lucky that the biggest swarms didn't show up here until January after the harvest season. But now new seeds of corn and wheat are in the ground, as are hundreds of billions of locust eggs. And you look at the scripture. The Lord God showed me he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout. And behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. So after they've already mowed, after they've already harvested, now the spring crop is coming in and a swarm of locusts is being formed by the Lord. That's exactly what's happening there. They already did the harvest season, and now the seeds, the spring crop's coming in at just as hundreds of billions of locust eggs are about ready to hatch. Is God forming a locust swarm to take out this next crop? It's fascinating the timing of this in my Bible study, as all of these headlines start coming at the same time. And it was just kind of a fascinating moment. So, then it says in Joel chapter 2, then I will make up for you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. So God's referring to this swarm of locusts as his great army. So now we're looking at this, and also we're looking at a backdrop of this plague, this virus that's unlike previous viruses. And in a world where the nations have forgotten God, they no longer fear God, they're in rebellion against God, and it starts in a communist country. It came from a Canadian lab. Canada is completely in rebellion against God. I'm just looking at some of the parallels here. So in 2 Chronicles and 1 Kings, it says this, almost identical scriptures. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, if there is locust or grasshopper, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is. This is God talking. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, if there is locust or grasshopper, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is. And now we're seeing plague and sickness and locusts and, of course, multiple wars going on. Do we have places where enemies are besieging them in the land of their cities? Well, all over the news, if you're following what's going on in Uganda and these other countries where cities are being besieged. I know, slightly different context here, but I'm just, could there be some parallels here that we need to be paying attention to? Looking at plagues also, you know, could that also be from God, is, or at least allowing it? Because there's scriptural examples of plagues being sent by God to take people out. God used it in Egypt during the Passover to take out the firstborn of all the Egyptians. God himself went through to take out the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And if you go back to Moses, or go forward, when Moses and Aaron were trying to lead the Israelites, they rebelled against God and against Moses and against Aaron. I mean, the people who led this rebellion, they were called out. And the earth opens up, swallows Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, swallows them, their households, all their belongings, their children, their wives, their families, everything went down in this, where the ground opened up, split open, swallowed them up, and then closed up over top of them. And everybody freaks out and they're running in all directions because they don't want to be anywhere near those guys' tent that just went, you know, they just got snuffed out by the Lord for rebelling against him. So what happens a little bit later is these people rebel, they continue rebelling against Moses and Aaron. And God said, step away from these people. I'm going to snuff them all out right now. So this plague went out. Let me read it to you in verse 46. Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire herein off the altar and put on the incense and go quickly into the congregation. God just told them, get away from the congregation. I'm going to kill them all right now. And a plague started. And so he said, make atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague had begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Now, they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died in the incident of Korah, where the earth split open. Aaron returned to Moses to the door of the tabernacles of the meeting, and the plague was stopped. God, because of the rebellion, he sent out a plague that killed over 14,000 people before Aaron could run into the middle of the crowd with a censer to make atonement for their sinfulness. God is just to be feared and taken seriously. This is amazing. So what's the what are the lessons here? Where am I going? First of all, the Lord is sovereign. Fear him and serve him. Second, be sure you belong to the Lord and ask for his supernatural hedge of protection against plague, against drought, against famine, locusts. Cling to him, because these are very interesting times. Don't be shocked or surprised by anything that you see from this point forward. It's just going to get more intense. Share the gospel with others. If thousands or millions are going to die from plagues, famines, pestilence, they need to hear the gospel. Now, we recognize we have a strong will to survive, to live. That's the prepper, the preparedness, the prepper in us, right? To be self-reliant, to be prepared, to store up. We hold that life is precious, and we take every reasonable measure to protect and preserve life, our own lives, our families, and our fellow man. That's why we prepare. But know that he is sovereign and he can choose to take your life or not. So that if he chooses to take you, that you know him. Be sure that others around you, wherever you have any influence, also know the gospel and belong to him. Then stop worrying about it. Be ready to live and preserve life, but be ready to be taken home. You're not sovereign. Don't stop living your life and don't try to cling to it, or it just might get taken away from you because you're clinging to it. Just give it to him. And I'll tell you what, it takes a huge load off. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to store up food, medical, and I'll be prepared to, I'll buy another case of ammo because I believe in preserving life. But if I'm taken home tomorrow, great. Whether it's from coronavirus or a car accident. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's where we need to be staying right there. Don't let your head get all spun up. Don't get wrapped around the axle. Don't be freaking out over this virus. And it's a government. It's weaponized. They're lying to us. And so what? What are you going to do about it? Do what you can do about it. Have situational awareness. Try to stay informed. Keep your head about you. And take every reasonable measure that you can to protect you and your family. And then put one foot in front of the other and keep living. Cool. All right. This is Radio Free Redoubt. And this has been episode 2005. You guys have a blessed rest of the week. Don't forget to stick around for Liberty State Radio. You got Lady Liberty coming up. Some positive stuff. Hey, a rally coming up this Friday, the 21st. So that's going to be exciting over in Olympia for those who want to be free from the bondage of the communists running Western Washington and infecting the rest of the... Talking about a virus. There's the real scary virus right there. Communism. Marxism. So they're working on building up their immune system to it and then breaking free from that virus. Okay, guys. Have a blessed one. This is John Jacob Schmidt. And if you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. Good night.